Get up! Get out of here and go!
Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Well, I don't know what to do now because nothing happened in that game. Freddie pitched great. Not much else happened. The Brewers lose the series from the Marlins. They lose 1-0 in the finale as they head into an off day tomorrow in Boston. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Craig Kishon's going to join us in a little bit. Shorter show today because, quite frankly, nothing happened. I mean, my goodness. The Brewers only managed 4 hits, all of them singles. They had exactly 2 at-bats with a runner in scoring position. One of them was a strikeout, and then the other one could have been a caught stealing, so technically 1.5, I guess, there in the second, and then 1 as the final at-bat of the game. I've been saying, you've been listening all season, Jesus Luzardo is the hottest commodity at this year's trade deadline, and I simply tweeted just a moment ago, yesterday's price is not today's price, as Luzardo just turned in his career-best start of his life, 8 shutout innings. He only had 4 strikeouts, and I'll dive into the numbers and what that all means for the Brewers and how it all looked today, but this has been the most common refrain that I've seen on social and I've seen on the text line, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. I agree with everything we've talked about. I called this on Sunday, saying, hey, you got to create your own energy. They're going to find a way to not start the lefties, with Terang being the most notable of them. Find a way to win games. I think the Brewers sometimes get a little stuck in the mud with their insistence on how their platoon is working. The insistence to not give Bryce Terang a single opportunity these last 3 days, or Jake Bowers a single opportunity, arguably the second hottest hitter on the team behind Joey Ortiz coming into this week. Sal Frelick did not even get into a game. Joey Weimer did because of the way that they bat. I understand the numbers, and we can sit here and have a full-on CNN debate about why platoons work and why platoons don't work. And you got to be all in if you want the platoons to work. So you got to start Andrew Monasterio in the leadoff spot playing second base. But I am sorry, Andrew. You're a great dude. I am sorry to the Brewers. Bryce Terang has been a top 3 player on your team. He should be in there. Jake Bowers has been white hot. He should be in there until proven otherwise. If they went 0-for-4 with 4 punchies against lefties on Monday, we can revisit this conversation. Jake Bowers started the rally on Monday, had the bad luck double against a lefty, mind you. Yelich, he gets the opportunity because he's obviously a veteran, 10-plus year in the show. He's the only true lefty in the lineup. Be consistent. Owen Miller, dude, you're a good player. I wish you well. Jake Bowers is better than you right now. Jake Bowers should get the start until proven otherwise. I don't want to sit here and say, like, yeah, no, this was the best lineup they could have rolled out there. I just don't see it that way. The Brewers and I don't see eye to eye like that, and that's why I'm sitting here talking about it with you. I don't mind it. They have their reasons. They have very data-driven reasons of why they believe the lefties should be sitting against lefties. Now, Jesus Luzardo, quite frankly, today, it didn't matter if you were left-handed or right-handed. He was getting you out. He was nasty today. But what I see with this team, with this lineup, they got stuck in neutral. And guys that are dynamic players sitting on your bench, like Bryce Terang, and a guy with pop like Jake Bowers certainly would have helped. And obviously, the elephant in the room is something that we haven't addressed yet, is the fact that Rhys Hoskins is hurt. And that certainly put a damper on all of this. Because if Rhys is in the order, that's a major middle-of-the-order right-handed thump against lefties. That's a massive thing to remember in all of this. But even with that, I still wanted to see Bryce more than we saw him this week. I'm just still really confused by all that. Maybe there's something we don't know about Bryce Terang as far as an injury or a concern or something of that nature. But we'll get to all of this coming up in the program. We're going to the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I see all the texts. We'll get to those coming up next. Craig Kishon's going to join us shortly as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Marlins. They lose the series 2 out of 3, and now it's on the Boston on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 1-0 as they are on to Boston. This one from Brian in Tosa. Great effort from Peralta. But you know what I'm going to say? The left-handed pitching is the Brewers' kryptonite. Sanchez did what he was supposed to do to be brought in here to get 2 of the 4 hits tonight. And the Brewers are really missing Hoskins. I agree with that entirely. And again, we agree on the Terang take, as you say in here. And a lot of talk in here about the Adames getting thrown out at third. Let me start with this as I welcome in Craig Kishon into the program. Craig, we were sitting watching the game together, and when Willie stole third and tried to, I also want to remind folks, it was a 1-2 count with 2 outs. Just try to make something happen. I understand it, like the old adage of, oh, never make it out at third, but never make the first or the last out of the. No, just don't make an out at third base, period. That's how I see it. But at the same time, it's like you can talk to hitters, Craig, and they can tell you after one plate appearance, like, oh, this dude's got the goods. We need to figure out something ASAP. And my sense is Willie was trying to make something happen. And when you're trying to make something happen, mistakes happen, because he knew Jesus had the goods tonight.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't have as big a problem with that as I would, like, you know, some guys stretching doubles into triples that have no business of doing it. And then you become the final out at third base, things like that. So I don't like to see it because I just feel like it's unnecessary at the time. But I also understand that this team has been struggling on the road here for a pretty good stretch. And Willie's been struggling on his own as well. And, you know, he got a single to lead off the second inning, and he wanted to stay out there and figure out a way to score for his team somehow. So I don't all the way blame somebody like that for an incident so early in the game. Those are the ones to me that obviously can't happen late in a close game. But I think early on, there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with trying to be some kind of a spark plug.
And for me, it all comes back to who's at the plate, where you at in the order, okay? If it was William Contreras or Yelyup, Willie's not trying that with those two guys at the plate.
Right.
He's trying that because it's the bottom of the order, and it's very clear it's going to be a low-scoring game. This text coming in, one of the things I love about baseball is the unpredictability of the game, and no team is immune to a sweep or a series loss. And with that clarifier, is there any validity to the Joker theory now that the Brewers struggle against sub-500 teams, or are we being just pessimistic Wisconsin sports fans? I think it's the latter. It's the pessimistic Wisconsin sports fans, because, you know, if the team, like I talked about when the Twins were on their 13-game winning streak, Craig, that, yeah, oh, they did it against the White Sox and the Angels, it doesn't count. Like, well, wait a minute. If you go 7-6 against those teams, people are, you know, lighting up torches and pitchforks. So, in my opinion, it's the beauty of baseball. You got to play all 27 outs. I mean, quite frankly, the Brewers had the lead in each of the first two games, and they were one strike away from winning game one. And they obviously handled yesterday coming down to the wire, and today they couldn't get off the deck. So, in an argument saying they played their absolute worst and were in all three games.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. They probably should have won Monday, and yesterday they did win, but they blew a lead and had to come back to win it. And then tonight was kind of up for grabs too. I mean, if someone hits a long ball, things change, and that's all Chisholm did. He just happened to be the first batter of the game there. So, yeah, you're going to have your ups and downs in the game of baseball. That's by design, though. That's why they play it every single day, because sometimes the teams that you call bad are going to win some games, and you're hitting this Miami team right now. They're kind of in a groove. I mean, if you look at what Lizardo's done his last two starts over the last 10 games, they've won 7, and he's won 2 of those. So What are you supposed to do with a guy that's, you know, almost in that premier pitcher league from where he sits right now? So I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, Dom, you just got to, you know, take a deep breath and say, you know what? I'm not getting my rear end kicked in. I'm not getting my teeth kicked in some of these losses, and, you know, just get back on the horse and hope things change this weekend in Boston.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you bring up, Craig. The fact that they're in all of these games, and I know there's no moral victories in professional sports, but the fact of the matter is a fluky, weird game on Monday night with the bloop that Churio maybe could have or could have not dove for. Even if he dove for it and didn't get it, it's the same result. And then not being able to score in the top of the 10th inning. And then yesterday, Yelich saving you, and today you could not muster up a run against one of the best left-handers in baseball. They're in these games. And as I'm looking at some of last year's schedule, and I'm looking at some of the results, similar points. So the Brewers are now 28 and 21 on the season. So that's game 49 games into the season. Last year, they were 27 and 22. And they were just coming off of losing a series against Tampa Bay, losing a series against St. Louis. So they had lost a series in San Francisco. They got swept by the Rockies last year in May. So there's something going on with the vortex about the month of May for the Brewers lately. But, I mean, this is part of May baseball. You're figuring out who you are, and you're not 100% healthy right now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too, that I wanted to bring up. Just the fact that, you know, this offense was built by design, and this offense has barely been on the field together by the design it was, you know, put together. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. I'm still kind of amazed that they are where they are here right now, considering, you know, that the starting pitching injuries especially, and just knowing what's to come here. So, you know, figure out a way to stay in these games. If you do that, you can figure out a way to win some of these games and stay afloat. I'm going to say that until I'm blue in the face, but that's okay, because I think this team is still going to be in it in the end, that's for sure.
I agree. We're going to take a breather, come back with more. Craig Kishon is with us right now. A few more texts, several rolled in too. 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Marlins right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon's with us for a little bit longer as well. Looking at what the Brewers put out for the lineup today, we talked about Monasterio, and before you had jumped on, Craig, I just kind of made my case for let's give Terang a shot, let's give Bowers a shot. I mean, Weimer didn't even get a shot other than being a pinch runner today, and Churio is scuffling again. I mean, it's at the point where I understand the Brewers are setting their ways. You got to be all in if you're going to do the platoon, and they were all in this series, not even giving in a bat to Sal Frelick. So the way I see it is, what's the worst that can happen? You put Bryce Terang in, and he goes 0-for-3 against the lefty, and then they bring in a righty, and he gets a knockoff of him? Like, what's the worst that could happen? I want to see Bryce Terang. The next time the Brewers see a left-handed starter, maybe it's Justin Steele, I want it to be Bryce Terang in the lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, when I saw the lineup here today, I was like, okay, so we're going to do this three straight days, you know, for an offense that out of the three games, as it turned out, they only had one game where they got it together. And I think I agree with you. I would like to see a little more mix-up, because here's the thing. Here's the one thing that I really have liked a lot about Murph and the guys that he consults when they put their lineup together. We've seen more of a variety from game to game since the beginning of the season in the batting order. So why were we so locked in for the last three games? Because we, you know, the Brewers faced three straight left-handed starters. I just felt like they went against what has made them successful this year for this three-game series. Because on paper, it looked a certain way. I agree. By the third game, I think you got to mix it up and give some guys some opportunities. Because here's my thing. Hey, I didn't play baseball at the level that we're all talking about here right now. But if I'm playing every day like Frelick, and I'm playing every day like Terang, I'm thinking to myself, all right, you're not going to start me one single game during this three-game stretch. You know, don't knock my confidence. Don't send me, you know, an unwritten message here, because I can do big things for this team, and you better count on me because I'm counting on you to believe in me. So there's kind of a two-way street here that they got to find a happy place to meet, in my opinion.
I agree. I think, and to be fair, like you talked about earlier, and we talked about with Reese not being here, and I'll say it again with you, they've played 14 games with the ideal lineup with William, Yelly, Adamas, and Hoskins all in the lineup together. So we're still so early in this. It kind of feels like the Bucks in a way, right, where it's like they couldn't get Dame and Giannis on the same page early, and then you had the injury, then he got Chris Middleton hurt, and he got all, it just felt like you could never get it plugged in play, and then hopefully the Brewers obviously get it all put together here sooner as opposed to later. And also another reinforcement on the way is Garrett Mitchell, and that should help the offense, but again, he's another left-handed guy that we're going to be sitting here having this argument about again.
I know. I tell you right now, I'm chuckling because I have to cover the Bucks, and it's in no way even close to what they went through this year. And I know a lot of people are chuckling with me, but it's, you know, here's the thing. You know, it does come back to, you know, what players are going to be able to perform. And if it's lefty on lefty, so be it. If all you're going to use Gary Sanchez for is, you know, two starts a week, one at the catcher and one at the DH, and it's going to be mostly to face left-handed pitching, so be it. I understand that. But I think with everyday guys, they have to be given kind of some freedom or whatever to have those opportunities to succeed. I mean, it's one or the other, man. Give me a chance to succeed.
I agree entirely. I want to get to the phone lines before we get to a break. George in Pewaukee. George, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love the Brewers. I have for a long time. I was only 16 years old when the 82 Brewers made it to the World Series, so I've been a fan ever since. My comment about kind of the same thing, Bryce Terang, what I've liked about Murphy is he has played Bryce Terang so consistently this year, being in the lineup almost every day. And the statistic I heard was from two former Milwaukee Brewers from the 82 team. They both told me this in person. Major league hitters are at their best when they're in the lineup every day. Now, the statistic that's not counted is Bryce Terang has not been, he's had two at-bats in the last three games. How does that affect when he does face a right-handed pitcher, that if you're going to platoon a guy only against righties, maybe Terang would hit the righties better, bat 20 points higher if he was in the lineup every day, even though he might struggle more against lefties. He's hitting from the left side. He's the fastest guy on the team and probably one of the best second basemen in baseball. My belief, just as an average fan, that it almost seems like he should be in that lineup every day with a rest once in a while, but that's my comment.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call there, George. When it comes to, you know, Terang and this platoon, I mean, Craig, I think the reason that a lot of people are frustrated with this is not only because of Bryce's great play clearly taking the quantum leap that they wanted him to take, but it's that there's not an obvious pick to replace him at second base, meaning, oh, well, hey, that guy's crushing left-handed pitching. You got to put him in there somehow. The Brewers don't have that kind of guy right now, which is why everyone's frustrated.
Yeah, no, really good point. And that kind of reminds me, too, occasionally we'll see, like, somebody like Bryce Terang getting pinch hit for, you know, when Oliver Dunn was on the team, or Jackson Churio was getting pinch hit for Oliver Dunn. It wasn't Bryce Terang, obviously, with the lefty. But those types of things, it's like, unless you're putting Gary Sanchez in or a veteran guy, even as a pinch hitter, you know, I say let some of these young guys, you know, figure it out and experience it. I mean, there's no greater thing in any field that we're talking about, whether it's baseball, any other sport, the things that you and I do in our sports broadcasting business, repetition and getting those reps in is really, really important, in my opinion. I've always believed that. And certainly, I also agree with the comment. You know, if you talk to these guys that have played this game for a long, long time and aren't playing it anymore, I think they're a little perplexed when, you know, guys get platooned for what they feel like might be no reason. You know, they didn't get platooned. They played every day. That's when players are at their best. So it's just been an interesting call and interesting thing to watch here in this three-game series, because it did sway kind of against where they've been up until now on the season.
I agree. I want to keep you for one more, Craig. We do got to end this on a positive note with you. I want to talk about Freddie coming up next, because today was a really important start for him.
Yep.
I want to remind
yep.
you that Brewers Extra Innings also is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring in Wisconsin means it's time for your AC tune-up. You can save $25 off AC preventative maintenance right now through the end of the month. So you're running out of time. You can schedule an appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. All right, one more quick segment with Craig. We're going to the top of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, this will be our last segment here with Craig Kishon. I'm Dominic Catronio. We got to talk about Freddie Peralta. Even though the Brewers lose 1-0 today, today was a massive leap forward. And I don't want to hear any comments about, oh, it's the Marlins offense. This could have gone terribly wrong today for Freddie. When you are 5 pitches into the game and you give up a leadoff home run to Freddie Peralta, or to Jazz Chisholm, and Freddie doesn't have any fastball command, and kudos to him, because he retired the next 10 batters in a row and locked it back into gear and said, no more. Tonight, Craig.
Yeah, I really think that, that given up, first of all, just falling behind early, I was like, uh-oh, now we're 3-0. This is how this one's going to start. Didn't expect the home run to happen, but it did. But I also saw the immediate recovery from Freddie and kind of take over a game instantly, like we saw, you know, in the first 4 or 5, maybe 6 starts of the season for him, where he looked pretty spectacular. He looked ace-like. He looked like he wanted to be in control of this starting rotation. And then he fell in a little bit of a slump. He got ejected from that game. He served a suspension. And I just thought maybe that took a little bit of a toll on him. And he's never experienced anything like that before in his career. So maybe it did take a bit of a toll. But he got back after it today. And he looked like a Corbin Burns-like person pitching on the mound today. Corbin gives up an occasional home run. Usually it's a solo one. And then he gets right back out there and just mows you down. And I think, you know, Freddie's obviously got all of that in him. And we saw it again here today. It didn't take him long to get command of all of his pitches. And I thought, you know, everything just worked really well for him.
One would assume that Freddie's next start will come against the Cubs, and just kind of mapping out the dates here, he would get that day, that Monday, if they go on the 5th day, because of the question marks in the rotation right now. If they stick him on his every 5th day rotation, he gets the start on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Cubs. If they use the off day to give him an extra day off, then they have it go on Tuesday against the Cubs. But the point is, his next environment is going to be a rocking environment. And to have this under his belt, to have the animosity of the Cubs-Brewers Council Return Series maybe being his next start, I'm really happy that he got a normal one under his belt. This isn't a joke about how quiet it was at Lone Depot Park. It's more about the fact that Freddie was able to right the ship, so he knows what he needs to do in a normal environment to right the ship, and he's pitched plenty against the Cubs over the career. He had a bad one against the Cubs at Wrigley earlier. I know he'll have the adjustment, but that's going to be his next one, and they really need him to be an ace in that series.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when you mentioned the Cubs, because that was his first big hiccup of the season against them down at Wrigley Field. So, you know, this guy's a competitor. He's going to want to get out there, and I'm sure he's going to want to beat his old manager. I mean, let's get that under his belt as well. Beat the Cubs. We all are seeing how this division has already shaped up with Milwaukee and Chicago, you know, 1-2 for much of, you know, the first 2 months of the season. But bottom line, they're in it because of how Freddie's been pitching, and for him to be able to rebound tonight and build a little bit more confidence. Every start's a little bit different. We all understand that, and every start's in a different environment. But man, oh man, next week is going to be crazy, and you want a guy who's been through it before that wants to prove something to be out there on the mound, and I think we've got that in Freddie.
Yeah, I would hope it would be Freddie, because otherwise it would be Tobias Myers, and that's not a knock on Tobias, but that's going to be the craziest environment at home of any game this year, and I think Freddie would be the guy that's ready to handle what that game is going to mean for the Brewers. Craig Kishon, thank you as always for your analysis and for your insight. We'll talk to you from Fenway on Saturday. I can't wait to be there and enjoying some more baseball with you.
All right, sounds great. Fenway's awesome. We're looking forward to that series, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Take a breather. Come back here from Pat Murphy after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, I've ranted enough. Craig Sean also did as well. Thanks for joining us. 855-616-1620. A couple of texts, all really feeling the same. Appreciate everyone reaching out. This one from the 262. Watch out for the Cards. They're sneaking up. Yep, they just swept the Orioles this week, but it is May. We don't care about the standings in May. This one from Jeff, this one asking, why are AAA platoon players Miller, Weimer, and Monasterio when we have some hot hitters like Bowers and Terang? Part of the first segment, I agree entirely. Then this one, how did the young guys like Terang and Frelick have to get so frustrated not playing against lefties? How will they ever get better if they don't get the chance to hit against lefties? Maybe that'll change one day. It is only May, but I think this was kind of a wake-up call to maybe to rethink something. You've heard from us. Let's hear from Pat Murphy after today's 1-0 loss to the Marlins.
I mean, Freddie was magnificent. You give up one run in eight innings or eight innings of pitching, you plan on winning the game. So their kid deserves a lot of credit, man. That kid was great. He was great. We didn't get on him at all. He was all over us all night, ahead in the count, and pitched great. Sanchez swung the bat great, and but other than that, we couldn't really get anything going.
We had counted, I think, 15 pop outs or fly outs tonight for you guys. What was Lizardo throwing that was
really good stuff?
Yeah,
really good stuff. You know, he lives off his fastball. I mean, his fastball's, it's a sneaky 95, 96, you know, and plays up, and he pitches at the top of the zone. That's how he gets those pop-ups. His changeup was very good to keep us off it, and his breaking ball was good. So he was lights out. He beats a lot of teams tonight.
Do you think Freddie got back to just being himself? Kind of, we talked about the mix before the game. And
yeah, I thought it's fastball Freddie, you know, like it all plays off the fastball. He has to establish that, and you know, he can't throw 5-6 in a row and throw one down the middle, but he can use his fastball effectively and know how to locate it in the top half of the zone. It's really tough to hit. And then everything else works off of that. But he was magnificent.
Yeah. How important is that to get Freddie back to being that guy now?
Yeah, I'd say that was I think that's crucial. You know, that's something we got to have if we're going to continue competing like we did tonight. We competed. We're right there. And I can't be mad at these guys. That kid pitched great. He had great stuff. He's a capable pitcher. That's why he's got the reputation he does. And he pitched great. So give him the credit. And their closer came in and did the job. And I don't think too many other guys beat us tonight, but that kid beat us.
Well, Lizardo had retired 17 straight. I mean, when a pitcher's rolling like that, how hard is that to apply the pressure you want?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's really tough. It's tough. You get somebody on base, maybe we can get something going. Churio stealing that base gave us something, you know. But you know, we couldn't come up with a big hit at the big time. But again, credit their guy. He was really, really good. I'm not going to be disappointed in our guys if a great pitching beats good hitting. That's just the way it is. And that kid was great tonight. And let's give him the credit. And we competed. We did what we had to do to hang in there. Every team in Major League Baseball can beat every team in Major League Baseball. We've learned that over time. And doesn't matter what their record is with that kid on the mound tonight. They did what they had to do.
How well did Gasser yesterday and then Freddie today set you up for the rest of the road trip?
Well, I mean, from a standpoint of saving our bullpen, yeah. I mean, obviously that's important, but we got an off day tomorrow, so either way, we would have been okay. These guys are resilient and they jump back in there. But I'm glad we didn't have to use anybody in the last 2 days, really, to any great extent. So we should be ready to go on the weekend.
Yeah, ready to go for the Red Sox with the full leverage bullpen after an off day. We'll talk about that series and wrap up the program because, well, honestly, there were no highlights from this game. Brewers fall 1-0. They lose the series to the Marlins. We'll also take a look around the league after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here. Here is the schedule for the weekend against the Red Sox. Bryce Wilson will start on Friday. That game is scheduled for a 6:10 first pitch. That means our on-deck show begins at 5:35. Then on Saturday, early game, 3:10 Central Time. I've got you covered at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. And then on Sunday, we are at 12:35. That means the on-deck show begins at noon and no Brewers warm-up that day for me. If you're one of the folks that syncs up your television to the radio call, we are on Apple on Friday and then Bally on Saturday and Sunday. As for the pitching matchups, Bryce Wilson versus Cutter Crawford. Cutter Crawford's been one of the surprises of the season for the Red Sox, one of their homegrown stars. He's 2-2, a 2.17 ERA. Billy, Bryce Wilson, is 2-1, a 2.79 ERA. Saturday, it's Colin Ray, 3-2, a 4.07, against Nick Pivetta. He's 2-2, a 3.04. And then finally, it is TBA on Sunday. That's likely going to be Robert Gasser. That would be on his fifth day. It could be Tobias Myers, given he only threw one inning yesterday, and it was originally his day to start in Nashville. And then you would have to decide, okay, do you want it to be Gasser on Monday against the Cubs, or do you want to give him an extra day and have Freddie start that game on his fifth day? So that's why TBA is on Sunday. But it seems like Tobias Myers is here to be a starter. I imagine another move might be made for the bullpen with Bradley Blaylock not getting into a single game. Don't know if they're really going to need him after the off day. So I imagine he will get optioned back to AA Biloxi and continue his development. We'll keep an eye on Jacob Junis returning soon. Keep an eye on DL Hall returning soon. Keep an eye on JB Bukauskas starting to play catch soon. Also, Garrett Mitchell is expected to hit off of a tee this week at Fenway. So that's all very, very good news for the Brewers and in their return to health. Rhys Hoskins has also been running, by the way, as well. So we might see him back. I know he unofficially has the goal of being available in 2 weeks' time against the Phillies. If he's already running, that's certainly a good sign. He wants to be able to play against his team that originally drafted him in 2 weeks' time. So he's certainly looking forward to that. And if you're a standings watcher in May, we always joke, like, hey, man, I don't look at the standings until July. Let's make you feel a little bit better. The Cubs lost today. Max Fried, complete game. He pitched very well as the Braves beat up on the Cubs by a 9-2 final. The Reds lost again. They're now 20-29. We mentioned the Cardinals winning earlier. They're now 23-26. They have won 8 of their last 10. And Pittsburgh is now getting shellacked by the Giants in extra innings. Pittsburgh is in danger of falling to 23-27. The Brewers are off tomorrow, and I will be live at Fenway Park for the weekend. I cannot wait to be there. If you're there, say hello. I love America's most beloved ballpark. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, and to our guest host, Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.